Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and folks, we are broadcasting from inside Renaissance Bank in beautiful Alpharetta. And if you are tired of being tattooed and overlooked by your mega bank, you know what I mean by that. If you're at one of those banks, they don't like dealing with people directly, and particularly if you're a small business. If that's the shape you're in and you want a better banking experience for your business, then I have found that Renaissance Bank is big enough to handle pretty much any need you can throw at them, which is important, but they're small enough to do it in a personal way. And the clients that I've referred to them tell me that. So that's the feedback I get. So if that's what you're looking for in your bank, then go to renaissancebank.com, find one of their local offices, and give them a call. I think you'll be glad you did. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Christina Minka-Miller. Christina is with Being Positioned. Christina, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's exciting to be on today.
How did I do with your last name?
You actually did pretty good. I'm impressed. The practicing ahead of time helped a little bit, though.
Okay, good. Yeah, folks, I spent 30 minutes before deciding.
You could probably spell it by now.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. What do you expect from a guy named Ray? Let's get to you. Let's talk about being positioned and what you're doing for folks out there.
Yeah, so we are a nonprofit that provides unforgettable travel experiences for people who have rare genetic disorders. Or a quick way that I often refer us to is Make-A-Wish, but for people with these conditions and just to travel. So give them the trip of a lifetime that they get to plan and pick out their destination and do whatever they want. And we plan it for them. We book everything. And yeah, it's just an incredible experience for them.
Wow. So let's talk about rare genetic disorders. Maybe let's start there. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, so everyone knows the term rare disease, or most of us have heard of rare diseases by now. So a rare disease is actually a condition that occurs in less than 200,000 people. So obviously it's rare, but there's actually quite a bit of rare diseases. So there's over 7,000 different separate conditions. And it's actually quite common to have a rare disease. So each condition is really rare. But I think it's like 1 in 10 people have a rare disease. But then for us, we specifically cover the rare genetic component. So like 80% of rare diseases are genetic. And that's not necessarily meaning that they inherited the condition from their family. It can actually occur spontaneously when their mom is pregnant and something goes wrong in utero and they end up developing this condition, but then they have the capacity to pass it on eventually too. So that's where it becomes that rare genetic. But for us, a big part of that too is there's this permanence to the genetic component, that if it's a rare disease, there's not a lot of treatments for rare diseases in general, but there is more hope or possibility that it could go away. But if it's genetic, unless you have gene therapy, which we're pretty far off on a lot of that, there's really no chance. So these rare genetic conditions are just these really complex, difficult illnesses that are permanent. Unless God gives you a miracle, you're stuck. A lot of these conditions do have some common elements, though. So for a lot of it, you can have progressive loss of hearing, a loss of vision, loss of mobility. A lot of people will have muscular issues that they lose just these vital functions. And whether it's from tumors growing or progressive nerve damages, all these different kind of complex things, there's actually quite a bit of conditions that do develop types of cancer as part of their rare genetic disorder, but they're really complex. They're extremely hard to diagnose. They take on average 8 years to actually get diagnosed. So they're just really difficult conditions.
Yeah. So these are disorders, diseases, disorders, I guess, is the right word,
both,
right?
Both actually work.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that are inherited in some way. Are you able to, or does it depend on the disorder? Are you able to, through genetic testing, figure out whether you're a carrier or whether you're apt to get it or what?
So it just depends on the condition, which we'll talk more about in a bit, but I have a condition. And for mine, we were able to identify the gene. That was part of how I got formally diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And because we were able to identify the gene, we were able to tell that I have a 50% chance of then passing it on if I were to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. But I have friends that they could not detect the gene in them, but they have all the exact same symptoms. So they're still diagnosed with this condition, but they have 20% chance of passing it on. Mm-hmm. Some conditions you cannot find it. It could be that it's not prevalent enough in the body. There's a lot that goes into it. I do think there are, or I know that there are some conditions where you can tell you have a good chance. You might not have the condition, but you're a carrier and your child could develop it too. So there's a lot of complexities to it.
So your condition is neurofibromatosis type 2.
Good job. Look Thank at these you. Long names. You've got them down.
Look at me. I'm on the high wire here.
You are. Or
NF2 for short.
Yeah, that's much easier.
Yes. And that's what I'm going to stick to from
good
now
job.
On.
That's good. That's what I do yep. too.
Talk about that condition and I want to get into how you experience that condition in a second, but let's just talk about it from 40,000 feet.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So my condition, the hallmark of mine, like you said, it's called NF2, is actually these two benign brain tumors that grow on your hearing, your balance, and your facial nerve. And that is really how you know for sure somebody has this condition, is you get a brain MRI and that they have two of these tumors. Anyone can actually develop just one. They're called vestibular schwannomas, but they're really cruel and they slowly but surely take away all of your hearing. They can cause severe facial paralysis. They can take all your balance away. Mm. So that in itself is hard. But the problem is with the genetic condition is my body is missing the gene that tells it to not grow tumors. So I can actually grow tumors on nerves anywhere in my body. I have one on my spine, which I'm very fortunate. I have friends that have 30, 40 tumors up and down their spine and in their brain. You can also develop other types of brain tumors, so not just the two primary ones. And then cataracts is another really common thing. So juvenile cataracts, which is what I have, is much more difficult to remove and to resolve than if you're older and it's just the natural progression of your body. There's a lot of different issues that can occur with it, but for the 40,000-foot version, that's summary of it.
So I want to talk about your experience of it. Let's get into this. And obviously, this is your passion about getting to a place where you wanted to help others, mm-hmm. led to you creating being positioned or starting being positioned. But you had a journey to go through before that.
You did.
So let's talk about what that looked like.
Yeah. So I'll give a little bit of insight just to my diagnosis.
Yeah.
So I was diagnosed actually almost exactly 8 years ago this Saturday. So it's been a lot longer than it feels.
And you're how old?
I am 31.
Okay. So,
I was diagnosed,
so you were 23.
I was. And okay. I was about to finish grad school. I was 2 months from graduating to be a social worker because I was going to be a therapist, which is a purely hearing dependent career. And I was about to get married to my husband and move to Florida. So really critical time in my life. A lot of exciting, fun things were happening. And I was crossing the street one day going to class to take a midterm. And I suddenly lost all of my hearing in my left ear. Within seconds, it just dropped. No warning, no indication that anything was coming like this. I thought, that's really weird. And then I started having really severe vertigo mid-exam. I look up and I thought, the room is spinning. What's going on? Very proudly, I got a 93 on this exam, which I think is amazing to have severe vertigo and have that.
Yeah.
But I ended up seeing multiple doctors. Nobody knew what was wrong. Everyone kept saying, this is, something else. And then a month after my symptoms started, which is very quick to get a diagnosis, actually just a month later, we found that I had these brain tumors. And that rocked our world. To be preparing for marriage, my career, everything in my life came tumbling down in 1 second. Even the doctor was just in shock. He didn't know how to tell us that this was even happening. So anyway, that was really difficult, really traumatic. And I went, after we got married, all that was incredible. Thankfully, it was still really wonderful.
Well, let's stop here just for a second. Yeah. Because you're going through this story like it just happened and it didn't just happen, right? There was a lot of trauma that I know,
yeah,
right?
There was, yeah.
You're about to, your husband's name is?
Carden.
Carden?
Mm-hmm.
You and Carden about to get married. the two of you had a very difficult conversation or conversations about this whole, what your life was going to look like.
We did. Yeah. So we actually were together for 5 years before my diagnosis, which again is in God's mercy that we had a really good foundation. But I remember calling him that night after my, actually his mom was with me when I got diagnosed. So Carden was in Florida and his mom was with me in Texas. And I remember walking out of the doctor and just having, we just were both sobbing. We had no words. And his mom hugged me and she said, "This will not change his love for you." And I thought that is a really important thing for me to hear, because that was my first thought. He's not going to want to marry me anymore. Who's going to want to sign on to a life like this? And of course, I mean, my husband's incredible. Everyone who knows him just has no doubt about his goodness and his kindness. But it was hard. We had some big conversations just of, yeah, what was this going to be like? And we actually decided to do our vows in sign language at our wedding. We surprised our family and our friends. Only the pastor and photographer knew, because we weren't sure if I would lose my hearing before we even got married. Mm. My doctor said lost it so fast, so suddenly, that they had no idea what was going to happen. And so we had to prepare for the real possibility of that. And we wanted to have it be something special that I'd be able to fully participate in our vows. And so that was an incredible way for us to honor this journey, but it was hard.
Well, wow. So did, because of the how rapid the symptoms came on, the doctors were concerned that you weren't going to live
that I would lose all my hearing.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got
it. Thankfully not that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that I would lose all of my hearing before our wedding.
Got it.
Be fully deaf.
Yeah. Okay. So you went ahead and got married. And Carden, you're the man. Just shout out to Carden.
Yeah.
You went ahead and got married, and then you've got to fall into life. So at what point did you decide you were going to shift from wherever you were headed with this master's degree in social work to starting this nonprofit being positioned? Talk about that story.
Yeah. So I probably about a month or two into moving to Florida. For one, I didn't want to go to Florida. I wanted to stay in Texas. And I thought, I have just left all of my family, all my friends, support system. I have no career prospects. I'm a newlywed, but I was so depressed and so lost. And I thought, this is just a joke. How am I supposed to do my life like this? And I was really upset one day, and I was driving to Walmart and I had the Christian radio station on, and someone came on and she said, if your life is falling apart or you're feeling stuck, that means you're being positioned for something greater. And I really attached to that phrase. I actually went home that night and bought a blog domain called Being Positioned. I thought, I'm going to write a blog. That's going to be my career, right? Like we all do when we're going through a crisis.
Sure.
And so I did that. And I, a week later, had my very first neuro-oncology appointment in Orlando. And the girl came in, or the PA came in, and she's asking me about my job and all this stuff. And I thought, I have no job. Nobody's going to want to hire me. And the neuro-oncologist, we did the whole visit. And then at the very end, he said, all right, I need to talk to you about something. He said, I think I want to hire you as my social worker. And sure enough, a week later, I got the job. And I was working as his social worker at the cancer center where I was receiving treatment. So I had my infusions on the fifth floor and I worked on the third. It was the shortest commute you could possibly have. But it was incredible. And it was a really beautiful experience and just a chance for me to catch my breath and to learn about living life with this condition and getting to serve other people who have these conditions. And not necessarily just mine. It was a lot of brain tumors, a lot of different types of cancer. We're all sick people and can connect a lot. So that was really incredible. But then we had probably a year after that, we had an instance where I lost all of my hearing in my good ear too. So I was virtually deaf for probably about 48 hours. And it was from a flight, an airplane ride that it occurred. And we thankfully brought all my hearing back. So that was great. Mm-hmm. But it was a really big wake-up call for my husband and I, just to see, this is real. I am losing my hearing. And around that same time, we had multiple people die, like all these dramatic things occurred, to where we thought, all right, life is way too short. We need to live this to the fullest. And Carden actually went to a retirement seminar, and he I don't know why he would do that at that age. And he was working at Disney World at the time, but he came home and he said, I really think we need to quit our jobs and travel the world. I think that's what we're going to do. And I said, you're crazy. There's no way we're going to do that. It's a horrible choice. Actually, the idea came, I'm lying. The idea came when we were drinking margaritas on a beach. And I...
There's a lot of ideas that come from that. That's for sure.
They are in it. One margarita in, it sounded bad. A few more margaritas in, it sounded, this is a really reasonable idea. We should do
this.
And then we had all the retirement center, all these deaths occur. And so it really just felt like we were having this theme of we need to take advantage of this. So we both quit our very wonderful jobs and decided to travel the world for 14 months. We did that. And it was incredible. And we got to do and see things that people would never get to do in their life and really got to live more life than we'd got to.
So what are a couple of the highlights? We can't talk about 14 months worth.
We can't talk about 14 months.
of the joy of that travel, of that experience, but let's talk about a couple of experiences that stand out.
Yeah. So actually our very first trip was to Dubai, Abu Dhabi, and then South Africa. And the reason we chose South Africa is because there was a girl who at the time she was 12, she's much older now, but she has my condition. And her family and I connected on Facebook about 6 months after my diagnosis. And we ended up giving them, they were coming to Orlando, or they were coming to America to take her daughter to a doctor. And they were coming to Orlando to take her to Disney World. And we provided them like 4 free days at Disney World. We surprised them. And that was shortly after my diagnosis. And I always say it's like the seed that we planted for being physician. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to start our traveling with them. So they took us on a safari in South Africa, which I think everyone needs to go on a safari in your lifetime. It was incredible. So that was a huge highlight and just so special to share that with them. And then Iceland was another one that was very surprisingly wonderful. We rented a camper van for 7 days. Not glamorous at all. You're really gross. You're wearing the same thing over and over again. And you're, you know, human popsicles because it was so cold. But you feel like you're on another planet. You look like Mars outside the window. And we'd go hours without seeing another human, which was, you know, just cool, especially if you live in a city. Mm-hmm. And then I think we talked about the other day, actually, Thailand was probably my favorite because the food was
incredible.
Best food ever.
Yeah. Wow. So when you did this trip and the two of you, I'm sure you were husband and wife, been together for a long time before you married, that experience certainly bonded the two of you in a way that continuing your jobs and so forth might not have done.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We were with each other constantly. We were really prepared for COVID because we were together all the time. Uh-huh. We were each other's only friend. And so that wasn't that big of a transition in some ways for us. But it was a really cool, our honeymoon was hard after such a traumatic season. So for us, this was like that second but extra long version for that. It was great.
So you came back and when did you had this germination of being positioned, but when did the idea of the nonprofit fully flower?
It actually really started. So I say that the seed was planted before I knew that anything was happening. But I was sitting on a bench in Switzerland and I just all of a sudden had this thought. And I thought about what if I were to work for Make-A-Wish or do something of that nature. But I just felt pretty strongly that God wanted me to just do this on my own, which was very uncomfortable to even consider. I had no experience running a business, no interest in running a business. I wanted to be a nice, quiet therapist. Mm-hmm. And when I told a few people about it that were really supportive and really on board. And I think that's actually a really important thing to do. If you have any crazy business idea, only tell a couple, but tell ones that you think will tell you the truth and that they can catch that fire with you because you just need a little encouragement to have the courage to do something. And so that's really what happened for me, that they encouraged me and I thought, all right, we're just going to try this. And so when we finished traveling, I had already started the process a little bit before we were done. But when we finished traveling, pretty much right away, I started getting this going.
Wow. Wow. What great words from Christina Minka Miller.
Yeah, good job. I like the nervous glance over.
I know, and I'm looking for encouragement, folks. She is the founder and executive director of Being Positioned. So this was what year you founded the organization?
In November 2019.
Okay, so you're now, we're what, almost 5 years in, let's call it, right?
Well, we got to factor in a little bit of a pause because of COVID. Because so we launched and then we fundraised and got our first few applications in the mail. And then the world imploded. And travel for people with any kind of illness, let alone a healthy person, was no longer an option. So we really paused for almost 3 years. We had to wait and pivot everything.
Okay. So I'm just curious about travel. The travel piece of this was obviously important for you and your piece. But why travel for everyone else? Why is this a common desire that those that are dealing with MF2 have? Do most people have some sort of travel related wish that they want to fulfill?
Probably not, but isolation is a common theme, heavily isolated population. And for us, while we were traveling, I actually had someone from the Philippines reach out to me and she said, "It's so cool what you guys are doing, but I don't think I could do anything like that anymore now that I've lost my hearing." And just hearing her lack of confidence in getting out of her environment, getting out of her comfort zone, just really resonated with me. And I thought, I get that. It's so difficult to navigate the world outside of your daily environment with something like this. And for us, we saw what occurred for me, that I got my confidence back. I think I shared with you too about just the empowering element of doing something, even if you don't have a disability, that doing something out of your comfort zone gives you a lot of courage to then do something a little harder the next time. And so some of it was that, right? We just really wanted to spark that. But in general, there are actually quite a few studies that demonstrate the power of traveling for breaking the cycle of depression. And so that's something when you have any kind of chronic illness, whether it's well known or not, you're just going to be depressed. It's impossible not to be, to have this hopelessness, this thing that things will only get worse. And so for us, with being positioned, you know, getting them out of their environment, getting them to do things that are fun, that can spark them back to life, to help them remember who they are, who they were before this diagnosis, right? It's easy to lose that, but to also just really provide something for them to look forward to. And I think a wish in general, right, that's like a one-day experience, which is great, or it often is, depends. But for this, we're giving them a good 5 to 7 days, depending on the budget. They get to fully leave their normal life and go do whatever they decided to do. So it's like a lot of wishes in one in some ways.
Yeah. It sounds like you're doing something more than just giving someone a trip. You're encouraging them to do something that they otherwise might not have the courage to do or think they've got the ability to do.
Yeah. Well, there's also a really big gratitude component, right? We're on gratitude's a big thing right now too. And it's really hard to find something that you're grateful for that you have with this condition. And that's been the heartbeat of how I've handled this disorder is I look at every and any element as a, if I didn't have NF2, I wouldn't have this great thing. And so that's kind of part of this too, is that for people to be able to see a good thing come because they have this bad thing can really be a powerful shift in their mindset and how they navigate their condition when they get home.
You are, that's really where the funds are going when you're trying to raise money for, and you're trying to raise money for the these trip recipients. So you told your story. Maybe you can tell the story of one or two others that you're, that Being Positioned has funded.
Okay. I will probably share. We've had a couple of really cool ones recently, but the one that I think from a mental health perspective really had the biggest impact, and it's one I shared at the chamber the other day, but she is a woman named Casey, and she has my exact condition, but she's 55. So she's a lot further down the line, and she's really had just a horrific time with this condition. She's fully deaf. She's legally blind to severe facial paralysis, and she relies on a walker to get around. So she's extremely isolated, especially during the pandemic. That was something for her. She was very afraid to leave, and it was just a really hard season for her. And so when she first applied for her journey, she was very just discouraged and timid about the process. But once she got going, I got emails almost daily from her about ideas of things that she wanted to do and how excited she was. And she just came to life. Like, she truly planned her entire experience. And our team was there to assist in any way. But she did a phenomenal job. And she went to do a road trip through the Blue Ridge Parkway, which it's during fall, the most incredible place you can go and do a road trip. I highly recommend for anyone. And that was always something she did in the past. She loved road trips. So that was cool for her. But she also wanted to do some more adventurous elements. And we sent her zip lining and horseback riding, which if you have no balance nerve and you go on a horse for like an hour, that's a tough thing to do. Even the zip line, actually quite a few companies told us no, because she was fully deaf. They did not want to take the risk of serving this. And I found a company and they actually did it for free. And they were incredible about it. But it changed her life to be able to go so long with such bad things, such hardships, but to just have fun, to see that her body's still capable of doing things she thought would never be possible. I think I shared this story at the chamber, but she went home and she was supposed to go to a potluck for Halloween and bring chili. But her partner who'd gone with her on the trip had gotten sick. And so she was going to have to go by herself. And he said, "Are you sure you're willing to go alone? Are you sure?" And she said, "Yes. And you can blame my newly found confidence on Christina."
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And I love that, just because it really showed that, yeah, we gave her a fun vacation. We gave her a break, but we also helped remind her who she is again. And so I think there really is a lot of power in that. And we've done some other cool ones, which I'll just, you know, quickly share. Like, we actually had a girl get to meet her biological family this summer, that she'd been alone since she was 17. And she met her dad, she met her two sisters and her three nieces. So to think you're alone from the ages of 17 to 45, to find out you actually have a family and they love you and they want to get to know you. And that's exactly what happened. So that was incredible. That's obviously a unique one, not one we would normally get to do, but it was a huge honor to get to provide that for somebody.
Wow. Wow. That's terrific. And it strikes me, and I don't hear one hint of this in your story, but it strikes me that all this work you're doing for others is doing something for you too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For your wholeness. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Say more about that.
Yeah. So I think for me, like I just said, what we provide for our recipients, we give them something to be grateful for. And for me, I lost my whole career, right? I actually did have some more counseling opportunities, and a lot of people encouraged me to provide that doing sign language. And but that was going to be very different than I wanted. And so to be able to have something so beautiful and cool and such purpose come from my condition helps my bad days get a lot better too. And it really gives me, right now I got some not great medical news recently, but I can't sit in that long, right? You let yourself grieve, you let yourself struggle and feel the fullness of that hurt. But then the next day I've got a job to do, right? And it, to me, that helps me get back up, because I'm serving people that are also getting bad news all the time. And so it's a really beautiful gift for me to be able to do this for others. And it is hard. It's extremely difficult to navigate my own health stuff while also helping other people that are in that same boat. But I wouldn't want it any other way either. I think it's a really, it's incredible.
Wow. Christina Minkemeller with Being Positioned. Christina, what a great story you have. Folks, we're going to get to the bottom line here. We need to raise money for Christina and Being Positioned, and not for Christina per se, but for the people she's trying to help. You're obviously a nonprofit, and you're looking for donations for those people that are interested in where are your donations coming from right now?
Anyone who wants to give us money.
Okay. But the people that have given so far, what describes them? What's the common theme? People that have had that have had family members that have this condition or what have you?
Yeah, a lot of that. So thankfully we have good family and friends that also support us and really helped us get this on the ground. But a lot of it, recipients, family and friends also have been really supportive. But anyone who does have a connection, even with cancer, right? I do chemo, and surgery and radiation are my only other options. So there really is a common thread between them.
Yeah.
So it is a lot of people that just have that connection or that understanding of what it's like to love someone who's going through something really hard like this and to have that illness. But also people who love to travel. That's been another one that you understand the value in that traveling and how valuable that would be for someone with such hard circumstances too.
So we'll give the website here in a little bit, folks, but you also have an event that you started on a whim, is that the way to say it?
A little bit,
last year. Yeah. And that's was so good, you're doing it again here. And folks, we're recording this show in 2024. Mm-hmm. And so if you're listening to this show after April 2024, you may want to look at next year, 2025. But Cereal de Mayo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that a misprint or what?
No, it sounds like it would be, right?
Right.
Yeah. So we actually, when we were traveling, it was probably like in maybe 2018, I don't remember exactly, but we went to Spain and we went to a cereal bar, which was a very American thing to do in a foreign country. And it was all imported cereal for $7 a bowl. It was ridiculous.
Really?
But they had this huge wall of every cereal you could imagine. And it was so fun. And again, out of character for us, we eat really healthy. We do not eat that kind of stuff normally. Mm-hmm. But we loved it. And we said, we've got to do a party like this for our friends. They would love this. And so we came home and it was Cinco de Mayo. And so we decided to do a cereal bar. And it was BYOB, bring your own bowl. And we had margaritas that we served in milk jars with red and white straws. And it was, for one, the cheapest party you could throw because it was buy one, get one free on cereal at Publix that week.
Oh, look at you.
Right? We're like, gosh, the God wanted us to do this party. Yeah. Like, clearly. So it was great. It was so fun. You feel awful, right? No one feels good after four bowls of cereal. Mm-hmm. But it was so silly and lighthearted and really just honors the heart of our organization too. And so we actually did that, I think, two or three times before we started the nonprofit. And we just did it as a party. We had no intention of this becoming a fundraiser. But May is actually the awareness month for my condition. Mm-hmm. And of course, now we're doing it in April this year because there's a lot of events in May. Yep. Kentucky Derby, I'm looking at you. You're really in our way on that one.
Right.
So we decided to pivot a little. But we last year had our very first fundraiser version. We were supposed to have one in May 2020, and we all know how that went. And so then last year was our first real one. But we do much more than just cereal. We actually have a delicious taco dinner that we're going to do this year. Of course, the cereal bar, margaritas, a lot of other different drink options, but it's just a fun, lighthearted, unique, definitely one-of-a-kind experience that you're going to go to. But it really encourages people to just get out of their comfort zone, right? How many times do you get to eat crazy, sugary garbage on a regular basis and do these things? So that's really where that got started.
Yeah, that's terrific. Let's give the details of this year's event, where and the how and whatnot.
Yeah. So it is on April 27th at 6 p.m. It's actually, I don't have the address memorized, so you gotta go to our website to get the address, but it's at a photography studios. If anyone's familiar with Katie Studios, they have an innovation center that's not available to the public. So we are getting, you know, free access to this incredible space. It looks like a movie set. It's really cool. It's got a green screen, everything, really cool space. But we're having Chewy's is catering it. If any Tex-Mex fans are out there, big Chewy's aficionado. Mm-hmm. So they're going to cater it. Tickets are actually just $55. And that's going to include your food, a drink ticket, all the experiences that we have to offer, all that. And it's in Alpharetta.
I was going to ask. So it's in the Alpharetta area. So
4 minutes from Avalon.
4 minutes from Avalon, and Avalon doesn't have anything like this. So let's just say that, right? Avalon's unique, but it doesn't have anything like this.
It's really unique.
Yeah. But if you're, again, if you're not in the Atlanta area or you're not planning to be in the Atlanta area, you can still donate.
Yeah. Go to beingposition.org, and that's a great opportunity to donate for us.
Terrific. So what does the future look like?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, that's a tough question to ask and I know to answer.
You mean for our recipients?
Yeah, to your recipients because and for you because you've got some turmoil ahead for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right now we're planning three journeys for our recipients right now. We're going to do six this year, actually. My health-wise, is that kind of what you're getting at?
Yeah, because, and people need to know this, that this is, you're on a journey and you have a remarkable attitude for the journey that you're on.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just got to say that. And I know people listening to this will feel the same way. But you can get into whatever level of detail you want or don't want to get into, but mm-hmm. you've had some tough medical news here recently, mm-hmm. and you've got some issues ahead that you're going to have to work with and mm-hmm. deal with.
Yeah, that is a very big element of this organization, right? I'm the primary person carrying it, and I could get taken out at any point. Yeah. So that is hard. We do actually have a travel agent who helps me plan all the trips, and we have a really great strong board of 9 people, and that's been really helpful. But for me, medically, every 3 months, I have a brain MRI, a hearing test, and we travel to Boston to see a special neuro-oncologist. So every 3 months, my life plans change. Mm. And this most recent version, unfortunately, I've been on chemo for almost a year, and it kept everything stable. Nothing is shrinking, but it's also caused a lot of other harm to my body. And if anyone's familiar with chemo, and it can do, especially for females, cause a lot of hormone issues. And so we've decided to give my body a break and let it just hopefully re-regulate itself for a few months. We are hoping no tumor growth or hearing loss occurs in that window, but we never know. Everything is a risk. So there is hard. So our goal actually for the nonprofit, eventually we will, I actually do this for free, but we will eventually hire somebody that can help and stand in as support too for me medically, that'll be a really important factor for it, you know, over time as we grow and do mm-hmm. a lot more of these journeys too.
Yeah. I think everyone intellectually knows every day is a gift, but they've heard from you up close and personal that every day is a gift. And thank you for carrying that message.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me share it today.
Yeah. And thank you for what you're doing for others. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So let's again give folks directions on how to find out more.
Yeah.
And if they'd like to be involved, I assume you're looking maybe for volunteers as well or not?
I have some incredible people who are going to volunteer already. We might end up needing a few more here and there. We'll see. I'll let you know on that one.
Okay. But if people are interested in volunteering, contributing, however they're interested, they can do what?
Yeah. So our website is www.beingpositioned.org, and they can find our contact information. We have a contact page actually on there. And then for Instagram and Facebook, same thing. It's just at Being Positioned. And then you can find all of my accounts are linked to that as well. And people can reach out to me personally. They can email me through LinkedIn, any of those options too.
Christina Minkemiller. Wow. I'm blown away. I've heard your story before, but just the more I hear, the more admiration I have for you. So thank you for coming to share it and being so open and trying to help others.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're an inspiration. So thank you.
And again, thanks for having me on, giving me the opportunity to do that.
I'm delighted to do that. And we'll have you back.
Oh, good. I'll happily come back.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. Christina Minkemiller. Minkemiller.
Good job. Next time I'll get it right.
Christina Minkemiller with Being Positioned. Folks, let's open up the pocketbook and help. She's doing great work. So Christina, thank you again.
Thank you.
Hey, folks, just a couple of quick things as we walk out the door here. I've got a new book out. It's called The Generosity Mindset. It is the subtitle is A Journey to Business Success by Raising Your Confidence, Value, and Prices. So if you're a professional services provider, you've got your own practice, and you're having issues with your confidence and how you express your value and diagnosing your value and then pricing your services, this may be the book for you. Go to thegenerositymindset.com to learn more, or you can email me directly, john@johnray.co. Also, I just want to thank you, our listener. You have supported us over these past almost 8 years. And this is, I think, show number 757 or something like that. That's not just an airplane. That's how far we've come with this show series. And I never thought we'd get this far because I never thought about it. But you have supported us so mightily and continually and regularly. And one of the things that you've done is like us on social media, but you also share the show. I cannot imagine why you would not want to share this show with others. I'm just saying that. So please share the show. But for any of our guests, if you hear something that makes you think, hey, I know someone that needs to hear that message or hear about that service or product, please continue to do that, because that's how we shine the light on great business and community leaders like Christina, who are doing great work, and that work deserves to be celebrated. So thank you for helping us live into our mission here at Business Radio X. So for my guest, Christina Minkemeller, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.